Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, November 4th. Election Day 2024 is Tuesday. Early voting ended Friday, but voters have one last chance on Tuesday to decide everything from local propositions and offices to President of the United States. The polls are open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. In Ector County, 26,002 were listed as voting early through Thursday at 7 p.m. during the two-week early voting period that ended Friday. Visit our website for a list of Ector County voting locations. Those who live in the city of Odessa but in Midland County may vote on Election Day at the Odessa Country Club. What's on the ballot? Well, you may have heard of a race featuring former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. They are at the top of the ballot, but there's plenty more. A number of local races are also on the ballot. Eddie Mitchell will challenge current District 1 City Councilperson Mark Mata. Meals on Wheels Executive Director Craig Stoker is challenging incumbent Denise Swanner for the Odessa City Council at-large seat. Odessa Attorney Cal Hendrick is challenging Mayor Javier Hoven. District 2 will feature incumbent Steve Thompson against Nayeli Urias. The races are nonpartisan and are for four-year terms. The seats are mostly unpaid, with officials getting about $10 per meeting. OC's bond. Voters in Ector County will decide the fate of a $355 million bond election for Odessa College, which will raise property taxes. If approved, funds will be used for a new sports center, career and technical education building, repurposing the Jack Rogers Fine Arts Center as a child care center, infrastructure, and for the downtown campus. Shem Culpepper, president and CEO of First Basin Credit Union, led a committee made up of community members to look at OC needs. Culpepper said on a $334,000 home, it would be about a $30 per month or $360 a year more in property taxes over what homeowners are already paying. Want to know more? Visit ocvision2030.com/bondprojects. MCH ballot. Also on this year's ballot is Ector County Hospital District Election Proposition A. The proposition, in a nutshell, is the first step in allowing the hospital district the ability to raise their tax rate not to exceed 75 cents per $100 valuation, to essentially allow what supporters say will be a fair and equitable distribution of the cost for fire and EMS services for all city and county residents. Supporters say the measure will improve fire and EMS services for both city and county residents. City residents will get a tax reduction, while county residents will gain improved fire and EMS services through increased funding. Currently, the city has the responsibility to provide fire and EMS services, and this vote, if approved, will shift that cost to the hospital district, but the city will continue to manage the fire and EMS services. Mayor's inland port deal is dead. The story was written by Kim Smith. Mayor Javier Hoven's dreams of an inland port in Odessa were dashed Wednesday, at least they were if Permian Basin Inland Port is involved. The Odessa Development Corporation voted unanimously Wednesday to terminate negotiations to purchase property at 3215 West Murphy Street that was to be developed as an inland port operated by Permian Basin Inland Port. The ODC scheduled a special meeting for October 21st to approve a deal to purchase the land for nearly $8.3 million, and city officials were so convinced the deal was going to go through, the city council put it on their October 22nd agenda to sign off on it. However, the ODC tabled their vote after members Melanie Hallman and David Boutin expressed a desire to have a new environmental study conducted and requested a new appraisal for the land, which is in receivership. Boutin was not at the meeting, but had emailed his position prior to the meeting. The environmental study would have taken as much as 6 months, and yet the deal only gave the city 14 days to inspect the property. The ODC at that point was hoping Permian Basin Inland Port would extend the feasibility period in order to have the study and appraisals done and to negotiate the land lease, loan agreement, and some other things. But an October 22nd email obtained by the Odessa American under the Texas Public Information Act shows Tom Mansky, Director of Economic Development for the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, indicated he'd already been told the deal was dead and yet was working feverishly to try to rescue it. Mansky emailed Taylor Rich, president of SiteLog X, a company that was working with Permian Basin Inland Port to put together the deal, outlining the ODC board's hope for an extension on the feasibility period. He noted that Rich told him on October 21st he'd not been able to speak with the receiver and that he'd refused to give him the contact information for the realtor. Quote, "I guess I did not explain well enough that the ODC has certain state and local laws they have to abide by and cannot just jump into any agreement without proper due diligence. I realize, as a government entity, some of these items can be time-consuming," Mansky wrote. He then went on to remind Rich that Rich had told him the deal was dead. Quote, "If, for some reason, that situation changes and the receiver and or realtor want to open a direct dialogue with me, please let me know," Mansky wrote. "If another suitable site might enter into the equation, perhaps we can visit that opportunity," end quote. On Wednesday, the ODC spent about an hour in executive session during another specially scheduled meeting before coming out and voting to terminate any future work on what was called Project Logical. Board Chairman James Kirk said they've been in the process of due diligence for several months, and they kept getting conflicting information from the parties involved. Quote, "And we will not be able to move forward with this project at this point," Kirk said. Boutin said he believed the receiver involved in the project has already moved on. Quote, "I think that's in large part because our efforts as a board, in order to make a good, prudent decision by moving methodically and prudently on behalf of the taxpayers through this thing, has taken some time, and the conflicting information has not been resolved, and therefore this is where we are," Boutin said. Boutin said he isn't happy about the situation because they worked so hard on it, but he was in favor of terminating negotiations and made the motion. Hallman seconded the motion. Quote, "I agree. I am not happy that the deal isn't going to happen, because I do think that an inland port could be valuable to the city of Odessa. I hope that there are other opportunities to pursue a similar project, but with different parties involved, It's important that we prioritize working with parties that we can rely on and whose information we can be confident in, she said. The deal had been a couple of years in the making. In July 2022, Hovind spent a couple of days south of New Orleans visiting with people at the Plaquemines Port Harbor and Terminal District and businessmen who hoped to one day create a direct transportation line between the port and Odessa. Hovind said at the time two of the principals had ties to Odessa and they were in talks about building a rail facility and connecting up with existing Union Pacific railways. The principals liked that Odessa is already familiar with oil, gas, and chemicals, Hovind said. On March 28, 2023, council members heard a presentation from Taylor Rich. Rich and one of his clients, Roger King from Pipeline Innovation, spoke about the lack of rail service in the Permian Basin and the need for an inland port. King said smaller companies have a demand for rail service, and an inland port would be an opportunity to level the playing field for smaller companies. On June 13th, the ODC signed a Memorandum of Understanding with Permian Basin Inland Port to assist and provide support for the development of the port. Texas Secretary of State records show a Roger King is the registered agent for Permian Basin Inland Port, and campaign finance records show a Roger King donated $1,500 to Hovind's re-election campaign. Hovind is facing Odessa attorney Cal Hendrick in the mayor's race. Prior to going into executive session Wednesday, and before the ODC voted, Republican Precinct Chair Ronnie Lewis and former ODC President Chris Crow asked the board to table the discussions on the project, but for different reasons. Lewis said he wanted to postpone discussions on it so people could determine if other members of the city council were going to benefit from it. Quote, "So what I'm getting a lot of feedback from a lot of Odessa says we'd like to see this tabled, take a breath, and kind of slow things down, because we know that the mayor's been chasing this," Lewis said. "We know that the mayor benefits, and we don't know if anyone else has been benefiting. So that's just what I'm saying. I'm speaking for a lot of voters, and I hope you all realize that, you know, a lot of voters reach out to me," end quote. Lewis's claims of representing a lot of voters caused ODC member Larry Robinson to ask what puts Lewis in a position to get feedback, and the pair spent the next couple of minutes going back and forth about the March primary when Lewis and a whole slate of others defeated several longtime precinct chairs. After being told they'd deviated from the agenda, Lewis said, quote, "Okay, these voters want this thing tabled. What City Manager John Beckmeyer and Hovind did was improper. What Roger King did was improper. We need to slow this down and figure out what's going on, because most likely there's going to be a new mayor here pretty quick," end quote. Robinson shot back, quote, "We can figure it out," end quote. Crow said the proposed contract has changed substantially from when discussions first began. He questioned the proposed sale amount, and he said the ODC Compliance Committee needed to take a look at the deal, which it has not done to this point. Quote, "When everything comes in, I have full faith you guys all will make the right decision, but I was kind of questioning why we're having an emergency meeting when you guys are going to be meeting again here in the next 2 weeks anyway to kind of shove this in," Crow said. Crow, too, said he thinks an inland port is a great idea that will lead to more economic development and more jobs, quote, "if it's structured properly." More than $215,000 spent to support incumbents. The story was written by Laura Dennis. A prominent Odessa family has spent $215,000 on campaign donations and political action committees during a heated election to help incumbent Odessa City Council members and the mayor keep their seats. Mayor Javier Hoven and council members Denise Swanner and Mark Mata have been supported by Salisbury family donations to their campaigns and to the PACs, according to required election financial filings. Hoven faces Odessa attorney Cal Hendrick. Swanner faces Meals on Wheels executive director Craig Stoker. And Mata faces Odessa restaurant owner Eddie Mitchell. Early voting, which ended on Friday, has for the first time seen out-of-town paid political poll workers trying to get Odessans to vote for Hoven, Swanner, and Mata. Valor Strategies, listed out of Flower Mound, Texas, has been paid the most out of three PAC's coffers. Valor has paid $197,000 total from the PACs. The only other expense listed was for rent to ICA Properties for $3,400. The filings detailed Valor was paid for a number of things, including canvassing and polls. Odessa GOP Precinct Chair Ronnie Lewis recently videoed the paid workers who were campaigning for Hoven, Mata, and Swanner. The workers, who couldn't pronounce Hoven's name, said they are being paid to be here until the election is over and are staying in local hotels. Elected city offices pay about $10 a meeting, and some are questioning why anyone would bus in fake supporters to campaign at the polls. They also wonder who is paying the bill for the paid poll workers. Quote, "The fact that Mayor Hoven, council members Denise Swanner and Mark Mata, felt they needed to use paid out-of-town and out-of-state political activists to scratch and claw their way to remain in office is shocking," Lewis said after releasing the video last week. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, who is unopposed in this year's election, had not heard of paid poll workers for local races prior to this year's brutal local campaign. Quote, "Each candidate is free to run his campaign as he sees fit, and I don't claim to be an expert in campaign strategy," Landgraf said. "I don't recall ever seeing paid out-of-town workers working polling locations in Ector County or anywhere else in West Texas," end quote. Landgraf's opponent 2 years ago was Casey Gray, who was supported by Dick Salisbury. That campaign by Gray was as vicious as this year's city council races. Gray lost by almost 80%. The PACs. Three of the PACs raised a total of $200,000. Those PACs are Save Odessa, a PAC out of Austin with a campaign treasurer listed as Sean McCree, filed paperwork October 28th detailing donations and expenditures. Under the general purpose report on the PAC, they listed Mayor Javier Hoven and councilpersons Denise Swanner and Mark Mata as candidates they support. They listed challengers Cal Hendrick, Eddie Mitchell, and Craig Stoker as candidates they oppose. The PAC listed raising nearly $50,000 in contributions, with all of that coming from various members of the Salisbury family. Dick Salisbury donated $15,000. Mark Salisbury and Matt Salisbury each donated $9,000. Bubba Salisbury donated $6,000. And Diane Zug, Dick Salisbury's daughter, donated $8,000. All of the money raised by the PAC was spent on advertising expense with Valor Strategies. Camino Prospero Action Group, a PAC listed out of Odessa, with a campaign treasurer listed as Esteban Rubalcava filed paperwork the same day as Save Odessa. Under the General Purpose Report on the PAC, they listed Mayor Javier Hoven and councilpersons Denise Swanner and Mark Mata as candidates they support. They listed challengers Cal Hendrick, Eddie Mitchell, and Craig Stoker as candidates they oppose. The PAC listed raising $58,000, with all contributions coming from Salisbury family members. Bubba Salisbury donated $20,000, Dick Salisbury donated $10,000, Mark Salisbury and Matt Salisbury each donated $9,000, and Diane Zug donated $8,000. All of the money raised by the PAC was spent on advertising expense with Valor Strategies. We love Odessa. A PAC listed out of Odessa, with Lisa Armstrong listed as treasurer, filed paperwork also on the same day as the other two PACs. Under the General Purpose Report on the PAC, they listed Mayor Javier Hoven and councilpersons Denise Swanner, Steve Thompson, and Mark Mata as candidates they support. They listed challengers Cal Hendrick, Eddie Mitchell, and Craig Stoker as candidates they oppose. The PAC listed raising $92,000, again with all contributions coming from Salisbury family members. Bubba Salisbury donated $6,000, Dick Salisbury donated $37,000, Mark Salisbury and Matt Salisbury each donated $15,000, and Diane Zug donated $17,000. This PAC reported spending $3,400 on rent to ICA and $89,000 to Valor Strategies for ads, video, text messages, emails, data, flyers, direct mail, canvassing, and polls. Odessa's Accountability Project. The Odessa Accountability Project page has not filed paperwork as a PAC, but between July and October 27, has spent almost $15,000 on Facebook boosting to support Hoven, Mata, and Swanner. Other records. Hoven's political filing in October showed Dix Salisbury donated $5,000 to his campaign. Swanner's October filing also listed $5,000 from Dick Salisbury, as did Mark Mata in his October filing. Hoven, Swanner, and Mata all paid Valor Strategies for services. A call to the phone number listed for Valor wasn't answered. Some background. The heated election blew up in September when city officials and former Odessa Development Corporation Vice President Jeff Russell had a falling out. Russell took to his social media platform and painted city manager John Beckmeyer and Beckmeyer's wife as Machiavellian characters, so ruthless that he alleged they would use race and city resources as a means to further their political ambitions. Teresa Beckmeyer is the senior political advisor to the Salisbury family. In August, the Odessa City Council removed Russell from his ODC post just a few weeks after firing ODC President Chris Crow in a dispute over the ODC's portion of sales tax revenue and whether it can be spent on the city's failing infrastructure. The men issued a news release accusing the council of knowingly trying to use the money illegally. Hoven responded with a post on the city's Facebook page stating Crow and Russell were using the ODC as, quote, their personal political and economic organization, end quote. Russell posted an article on his Odessa Headlines website and Facebook page alleging the Beckmeyers provided strategy and guidance to local Republican Party precinct chairs prior to the March primaries, but they've now turned their eyes toward November's city council races. He said the couple are blurring the lines between city employment, public service, and political manipulation, end quote. Russell alleges that Vic Myers are so determined to get Hoven reelected, they signed off on a plan crafted by out-of-town political consultant Matt Armstrong that included, quote, staging divisive events to provoke anger among Hispanic voters and drive them to support Hoven, end quote. As proof of that plan, Russell posted a copy of an email he said was written by Teresa Beckmeyer, summing up a March meeting he said was held at the Beckmeyers' home and attended by both the Beckmeyers, himself, and Armstrong, as well as Bubba Salisbury, who attended the meeting via Zoom. Item 1 on the list of strategies for the mayor's race was Hispanic voters, business leaders, owners, awareness of importance to keep Javier, public events, speaking events, Russell reported. Listed under the heading of City of Odessa was 1. Social media, more reach, set the narrative. The email also included the following. Candidate problem. 1. Come out publicly or drop out and let us find a new candidate. Russell stated in his article this was in reference to Mata writing inappropriate text to a City of Odessa firefighter's wife, which Mata would later admit to in a Facebook video. John Beckmeyer said he did have conversations with Odessa Fire and Rescue Chief Jason Cotton about Mata and the texts, but was left satisfied the situation hadn't caused any problems within the city. Quote, I appreciate that Mark Mata came out and went public with it and asked for forgiveness for it, Beckmeyer said. He's a bigger man than many for doing that, but it's had no effect on the city. It's not a city issue, end quote. Russell said that during a second meeting in March, the Beckmeyers confirmed Armstrong would also help Mata and Swanner with their campaigns and form several political action committees. Quote, the Beckmeyers, along with Armstrong, were committed to using racially charged tactics to sway the election in favor of their chosen candidates, Russell said in his article. John Beckmeyer acknowledged campaign strategy meetings were held at his house and said he offers his opinion when asked, but he would do that for any candidate. In fact, he said, he tries to go to every campaign event regardless of whose it is. However, he added that he doesn't try to influence anyone. Quote, I'm really not involved in the campaigns. It's not my business to be involved, he said. My business is the City of Odessa. Beckmeyer insisted he's not very political. Quote, even with the Republican Party, I wasn't very political. I went out and I tried to get a job done, he said. I did fundraising. I dealt with all factions of the Republican Party and dealt well with them, end quote. Beckmeyer denied there were any discussions about promoting racial discord, but said there were discussions about Odessa's large Hispanic population. Quote, we have the first Hispanic mayor, he said. So would he not be justified in trying to pull the Hispanic population? It would be the same as if it was the first African-American mayor. Beckmeyer said if there were any plots about race, it would be to bring the races together. Quote, that doesn't even make sense, not in this day and age, Beckmeyer said of Russell's allegations. In an interview, Russell said he doesn't have any written documentation about how the group planned to create racial division, but pointed to a Hoven Facebook video as proof the plan is being carried out. Quote, it's this whole kind of nasty New York Democrat-style deal of, you know, I'm Hispanic and I've been oppressed by the white guys and the rich white elites that have ruled Odessa, and they want to take us back to that, Russell said. Just watch the video. It's just laced with really ugly racial overtones and what I believe is an effort to stir up Hispanics, end quote. Beckmeyer said Hovind, Mata, and Swanner are running their own campaigns with the help of Armstrong. The first required financial filings by the candidates in early October did not list any expense related to Armstrong. Hovind, Swanner, and Mata do list Valor strategies. Quote, Mr. Russell talks about Matt Armstrong, Beckmeyer said in September. That's their resource. It's not my wife, end quote. Beckmeyer said he suspects his relationship with Russell and Crow began to sour when he declined to terminate some employees they wanted him to fire. Russell denied ever pushing for anyone to be fired. Russell also pointed out in his article that many people suspect Hovind, Mata, and Swanner's campaign videos were made using city resources. While writing about Hovind's Facebook response to their news release, Russell said, quote, The city's communication apparatus appeared to have been weaponized to serve the political interests of Beckmeyer and his allies, end quote. Russell called upon the city council to, quote, stop any abusive use of taxpayer-funded resources by Beckmeyer and should also appoint a special committee to investigate the extent to which the Beckmeyers are attempting to tip the scales in the current council elections, end quote. Beckmeyer said city resources were not used in the making of the campaign videos. As for Hovind's statement on Facebook regarding the removal of Russell and Crow from the ODC, quote, I approved that because we felt like the attack was made at the council, not any individuals. Maybe I should have looked at it in a different way, but we felt like we needed to defend the council and their actions, end quote. Russell said he never thought they'd play out the racial division strategy, but once he saw evidence of it, that was the final straw for him. He said that is when he decided to write his article. Odessa voters need to research what is going on before heading to the polls, Russell said.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, November 2nd, 2024. Texas Rangers renew search for Dennison. Investigators seeking information on pickup truck and RV related to woman has been missing since 2018. For the family of Caitlin Dennison, her 2018 disappearance in West Texas was life-altering. The 19-year-old had boarded a plane from Reno, Nevada, with the destination of Midland International Airport. Her plane landed, and days later, she was seen in the area. However, the circumstances of her disappearance after she came to Midland are the subject of a renewed investigation by the Texas Rangers and Texas Department of Public Safety. Amber Wood, an outside investigator working for the Dennison family, said investigators are searching for people who saw the pickup truck in which Dennison was traveling. Quote, we want people who saw the truck in West Texas in January 2018 to come forward, end quote, she told the Reporter Telegram. Quote, anybody who worked in the oil fields or anybody who lived around there, if they worked in Walmart or Domino's Pizza or Rick's Cabaret, if they saw the truck, we are trying to track the truck's movement. It's also important to note that the Texas Rangers have reason to believe that there are people in West Texas with information, end quote. Information about the pickup, as well as the recreational vehicle that Dennison is believed to have stayed in, will aid Texas investigators in finding answers for her family. Family member Emily Watson says Dennison was known for her bubbly personality and outgoing nature, but she also noted Dennison had a difficult life and struggled with homelessness. Quote, she was just one of the nicest people that I've ever met in my entire life, end quote, Watson told the Reporter Telegram. Quote, as she came into the room, you knew that she was there because she just lit up the room. Everybody wanted to be around her because of how kind she was and goofy, end quote. In an October 14th press release, DPS investigators said the recreational vehicle where Dennison had been staying was moved to a location in Midland south of Interstate 20/Loop 250. It was that day, marked as January 10th, 2018, that was the last time Dennison spoke to her family and friends. During a phone call, Dennison told family members she was at the Walmart at 4517 North Midland Drive with a male subject, but that she feared for her life. After the visit to the Walmart, investigators believe Dennison and the male visited a Domino's Pizza in Odessa. Next, they went to Rick's Cabaret to find Dennison employment. However, Dennison's family said she never applied for a permit to work at Rick's Cabaret, which she would have needed to have to maintain a job at the club in Ector County. Today, Dennison would be a 26-year-old woman. Investigators remain hopeful someone may have seen something or may have additional information to assist with this investigation. Tips on this case can be submitted online or by phone. Submit a tip online through the Texas Rangers Cold Case website. Contact the Texas Rangers by telephone at 800-346-3243. Information will be forwarded to the Texas Rangers assigned to the case. Call Crime Stoppers directly. The Texas Crime Stoppers is offering a cash reward of up to $3,000 to any person who provides information that leads to the arrest of the person / persons responsible for this crime. New automotive hotspot coming to State Highway 191. An automotive hotspot is developing around State Highway 191 in the Scarborough Sports Complex. The Sewell family of companies is building its new campus at Avalon Drive and Deauville Boulevard to house its dealerships, an EF Outfitters retail store, and restaurant that will serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 6 days a week. Colin Sewell, president, said corporate panels for the buildings began going up last week, 2 months ahead of schedule. The new campus will bring together Sewell's Cadillac, GMC, and Buick dealership at 3205 West Wall Street, and its BMW dealership at 5715 Andrews Highway under one roof. Quote, "We purchased the land in 2019, end quote, he told the Reporter Telegram of the 30.8 acres that will house the campus. Quote, "Our business is the Permian Basin, end quote, he said in a telephone interview. And the appeal of that location was the access it offers customers from across the region. A bonus was the announcement Costco will be building across SH-191 from the campus. Quote, that will bring tons of customers, end quote, and they may check out Sewell at the same time, he said. Quote, we've been blessed with a great staff. We'll probably double the staff at the three dealerships between now and the opening in March 2026, end quote. Like Sewell, Stephen Cavender, president of the Cavender Auto Family, saw that SH-191 corridor as the center of activity. Quote, it's an excellent spot, right in the middle of the action, end quote, he said of the 10 acres at Deauville Boulevard and Arlington Road, where he will build his new Mercedes dealership. Quote, that real estate offers us the opportunity for growth, end quote, he told the Reporter Telegram. He will be relocating the Mercedes dealership, which he acquired 3 years ago, from its current 5801 Andrews Highway location. He also owns the Subaru dealership of Midland Odessa, acquired a year ago. According to Cavender, the site is currently being prepared for development and the new location will give him flexibility moving forward, he said. Quote, we could acquire a new brand, we could expand the existing dealership, end quote, he said. He said his company owns 18 properties in Texas and Oklahoma, and this purchase shows a commitment to Midland. Quote, it lets us take advantage of all the great things happening in Midland, end quote. Midland Hospital delays some elective surgeries. IV fluid shortage impacting nations since Helene. Midland Memorial Hospital is temporarily postponing select elective surgical procedures that require IV fluids. The postponements will begin Tuesday. The nation has seen a shortage of IV fluids since Hurricane Helene caused severe damage to Baxter International's production facility in North Carolina, according to a Midland Health press release. The postponements are being put in place to ensure that emergency procedures remain unaffected, the hospital said. Affected patients will be notified directly by MMH staff. Patients who have not been contacted should arrive as scheduled for their procedures. Endoscopy. Otolaryngology and ophthalmology cases will not be affected. Quote, we appreciate the community's understanding and patience as we work to conserve vital resources for our most critical patients, end quote, said Dr. Saravanan, chief medical officer. Quote, we remain committed to providing the highest quality of care to our community, end quote. new automotive hotspot coming to State Highway 191. An automotive hotspot is developing around State Highway 191 in the Scarborough Sports Complex. The Sewell family of companies is building its new campus at Avalon Drive and Deauville Boulevard to house its dealerships, an EF Outfitters retail store, and restaurant that will serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 6 days a week. Colin Sewell, president, said corporate panels for the buildings began going up last week, 2 months ahead of schedule. The new campus will bring together Sewell's Cadillac, GMC, and Buick dealership at 3205 West Wall Street, and its BMW dealership at 5715 Andrews Highway under one roof. Quote, "We purchased the land in 2019, end quote, he told the Reporter Telegram of the 30.8 acres that will house the campus. Quote, "Our business is the Permian Basin," end quote, he said in a telephone interview. And the appeal of that location was the access it offers customers from across the region. A bonus was the announcement Costco will be building across SH-191 from the campus. Quote, "That will bring tons of customers," end quote, "and they may check out Sewell at the same time," he said. Quote, "We've been blessed with a great staff. We'll probably double the staff at the three dealerships between now and the opening in March 2026, end quote. Like Sewell, Stephen Cavender, president of the Cavender Auto Family, saw that SH-191 corridor as the center of activity. Quote, "It's an excellent spot, right in the middle of the action," end quote, he said of the 10 acres at Deauville Boulevard and Arlington Road, where he will build his new Mercedes dealership. Quote, "That real estate offers us the opportunity for growth," end quote, he told the Reporter Telegram. He will be relocating the Mercedes dealership, which he acquired 3 years ago, from its current 5801 Andrews Highway location. He also owns the Subaru dealership of Midland Odessa, acquired a year ago. According to Cavender, the site is currently being prepared for development, and the new location will give him flexibility moving forward, he said. Quote, "We could acquire a new brand. We could expand the existing dealership," end quote, he said. He said his company owns 18 properties in Texas and Oklahoma, and this purchase shows a commitment to Midland. Quote, "It lets us take advantage of all the great things happening in Midland," end quote. Midland County eclipses 40% voter turnout. With little time left to take advantage of early voting, nearly 3,400 people went to the polls on Thursday. In total, Midland County saw 41,415 votes cast through Thursday. Of that tally, 40,439 votes were made in person, and 976 were made via ballot by mail, according to Elections Office data. Turnout reached 41.8% Thursday. Quote, "It's definitely been busier this year," end quote, Elections Administrator Rosa Olgan told the Reporter Telegram. Quote, "The total early voting turnout might not reach what we saw in 2020, but we had an extra week because of COVID," end quote. Election Day voting locations. Election Day is Tuesday, November 5th. Voting hours are 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Here's a list of voting locations. Midland County Annex, 2110 North A Street. Beale Park Ranch House, 5200 West Wall Street. Centennial Library, 2503 West Loop 250 North. Cogdell Learning Center, 201 West Florida Avenue. Cotton Flat Baptist Church, 6409 South State Highway 349. Downtown Library, 301 West Missouri Avenue. Fairmont Park Church of Christ, 3813 North Midland Drive. Fellowship Community Church, 5206 North Midland Drive. Golf Course Road Church of Christ, 3500 West Golf Course Road. Greater Ideal Life Center, 301 South Tyler Street. Greenwood Baptist Church, 10908 Farm to Market Road 307. Holy Cross Lutheran Church, 5110 North Garfield Street. Homeline Baptist Church, 3500 Annetta Drive. Horseshoe Arena Education Room, 2514 Arena Trail. Mid-Cities Community Church, 8700 State Highway 191. MLK Junior Community Center, 2300 Butternut Lane. Northeast Volunteer Fire Department, 5310 East County Road 60. Odessa Country Club, 1 Fairway Drive. The Orchard Church, 6112 State Highway 349. Presence Church, 901 Midland Drive. Stonegate Fellowships, 6000 West Wadley Avenue. The Village at Manor Park, Margaret Cowden Clubhouse, 5212 Sinclair Avenue. Bring a cheat sheet to the polls. Check out our voter guide at mrt.com which will let you choose your candidates and print out a cheat sheet that you can bring to the polls. Renowned psychologist Jordan Peterson to appear in Midland this December. Intellectual Jordan Peterson will visit the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center in West Texas this December during his, quote, We Who Wrestle with God, end quote, tour. Peterson taught at Harvard and the University of Toronto for 20 years and published over 100 well-cited scientific papers with his students and co-authors, according to an event announcement. He is now a best-selling author, psychologist, professor emeritus at the University of Toronto, and co-founder of Peterson Academy. Peterson also hosts a podcast that frequently tops the charts in the education category, with a series of online videos and a large social media following. Tickets to the event are on sale, with general admission ticket prices are ranging from $50 to $100. Additionally, platinum seats cost around $200 per ticket, and meet-and-greet opportunities around $500. The event will open its door at 6:30 p.m. on December 9th, and Peterson will take the stage at 7:30 p.m. For more information, visit the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center located at 1310 Farm to Market in Midland. Crude oil prices fall as Iran-Israel tensions and U.S. output rise. Crude prices were both buoyed by reports Iran was preparing a retaliatory strike on Israel and weighed down by record U.S. oil production. Prices posted a weekly loss, reversing last week's 3.8% gain. West Texas Intermediate rose 3 of 5 trading days on the New York Mercantile Exchange, but could not overcome Monday's $4.40 plunge. Prices turned higher Wednesday with a $1.40 rise, followed by 65-cent gains Thursday and a 23-cent rise Friday, to end the week at $69.49, down from $71.78 at last Friday's close. The posted price closed at $65.97, according to Plains All American. Natural gas futures kicked off a rough trading week on the NYMEX by skidding 25 cents, followed by a 14 cent drop Thursday, as forecasts called for warm weather in November. Futures fell an additional 6.5 cents Friday to end at $2.642 per MCF. Mukesh Shadev, Rystad Energy's global head of commodity markets for oil, wrote in a note that Israel's restrained retaliation against Iran last weekend cast a bearish shadow over a market already facing oversupply concerns. Some price support was seen in new of crude stock draws and the potential that the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and Allied Nations would delay the December return of its production cuts to the market. He noted that oil markets could be in for a bumpy ride in early November amid a confluence of international events, including ongoing tensions in the Middle East, continued weak demand outlook from China, uncertainty about the production hike planned by OPEC Plus, and the approaching U.S. presidential election. Quote, of all events to keep an eye on, the U.S. election looms largest as North American crude producers explore export markets in the East. OPEC Plus manages production cuts, and hopes temper for a speedy economic revival in China, end quote, Shadev wrote. Sibley After Dark returns Saturday to celebrate fall. The Sibley Nature Center will host their Sibley After Dark event, inviting families to head to the Education Garden at 6 p.m. on Saturday for a night of stargazing, scorpion hunting, science activities, and more. Quote, it's part of our annual series, end quote, said Paul Acosta, executive director of Sibley Nature Center. Quote, we have a spring and fall festival each year that revolves around the mission of conservation and stewardship, end quote. Sibley After Dark features stargazing with the West Texas Astronomy Club. Quote, an astronomy teacher at Odessa High School will be there, end quote, Acosta said. Quote, we will be bringing out free telescopes to point at the night sky, end quote. A major feature of the event is the Scorpion Walk led by museum scientist Michael Nickel at 8:15 p.m. Quote, a popular event is the Scorpion Walk where volunteers are looking for scorpions, end quote, Acosta said. Quote, they are bioluminescent and they glow like they are at a rave, end quote. Acosta said that Angelo State University will be bringing a nocturnal animal exhibit. Texas Wildlife Association, Texas Parks and Wildlife, and the Petroleum Museum will also be offering different activities for spectators to enjoy. Quote, children will be able to make their own luminary animals, end quote, Acosta said. Quote, the Museum of the Southwest will also be doing an art project where a bicycle is used to spin a print machine and paint goes in all different directions, end quote. Sibley After Dark will be held in the Education Garden, which will be lit with outdoor lights. Scooter Dog will be providing hot dogs for sale, and the Sibley Nature Center will have cider and cookies available free of charge. Attendees will also be able to experience some nighttime magic. Quote, there will be a magician providing entertainment, end quote, Acosta said. Sibley After Dark is free to attend and will start at 6 p.m. on Saturday. The event will be held in the Education Garden and in the trails at Sibley Nature Center, with boards showing people where to go. Quote, everyone is welcome, end quote, Acosta said. Quote, this Sibley After Dark is something that kids and adults really enjoy, end quote. Local farm turns discarded pumpkins into animal feed. The Cross Farm welcomes donations. Pumpkin season may be ending soon, but for those desiring to donate rather than trash their whole pumpkins, there is hope on the horizon. Farmer Cindy Cross and her husband made the discovery years ago that discarded pumpkins offer a delicious treat for their goats, chickens, miniature donkeys, and ducks. Quote, it's more widely known now, thanks to social media, that all animals like eating pumpkins, end quote, Cross told the Reporter Telegram. Quote, we feed them back to our animals. The pumpkins store well outside until we run out, end quote. Cross said she and her family began the tradition of accepting pumpkins because they noticed a lot of people were just throwing the unused pumpkins, gourds, and squashes into the dumps. Quote, you can even feed an uncarved pumpkin to wildlife, end quote, she said. Quote, we started feeding the pumpkins to our animals 4 years ago, and we have had the farm for almost 9 years. Once we started sharing the request with our family, and now it's a much larger thing, end quote. The Cross family asked that guests refrain from feeding the animals without making prior arrangements with the farm beforehand. Cross also advised that because of the volume, the farm only accepts drop-off donations. The Cross Farm, located at 1003 East County Road 124 in Midland, also specializes in crafting soaps, lotion, and even shaving products from their goat's milk. As for hours of operation, Cross advised that the farm leaves its gates open during the day with a sign directing people where to leave their pumpkins. Pedestrian suffers life-threatening injuries in Midland SUV hit-and-run. Midland police reported that a hit-and-run downtown left a man critically injured early Friday morning. The incident, which MPD responded to at 12:34 a.m. Friday, happened in the 500 block of West Wall Street. According to a city press release, MPD reported witnesses said an SUV was traveling eastbound in the outside lane when it suddenly, quote, swerved, end quote, and then, quote, struck, end quote, the pedestrian. The SUV was last seen traveling east from the location, according to MPD. Officers advised that the pedestrian, quote, was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital, where he was listed with life-threatening injuries, end quote. The investigation into the incident remains ongoing. No other information has been released to the public at this time. ExxonMobil remains atop list of 10 most active operators by rig count. U.S. rig count held steady while Texas and the Permian dropped slightly. Drilling activity remained stable in the final weeks of the year. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday its U.S. rig count remained unchanged at 585 rigs for a second week in a row. That's 33 rigs, or 5% below the 618 rigs active last year. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil was down one rig to 479, 17 rigs, or 3% below the 496 counted last year. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas was up one rig to 102, down 16 rigs, or 14% from 118 last year. Texas was down two rigs to 281 rigs at work statewide, down 23 rigs of 8% from 304 a year ago. New Mexico was unchanged at 100 rigs. Oklahoma 1 joined Texas as a producing state seeing a decline, while North Dakota 1 and Utah 1 saw gains for the week. The Permian Basin joined Texas in seeing a decline, losing one rig over the week, to have 303 rigs at work in the region. That's down 7 rigs, or 2%, from 310 last year. Lee County, New Mexico, continues to be the most active county in the Permian, reporting 50 rigs for a second consecutive week. Eddy County, New Mexico remains in second place, reporting 47 rigs for a fourth week. Martin and Midland counties each reported 29 rigs for the week, up one rig each. Close behind was Reeves County with 28 rigs, down two. Loving County had 22 rigs at work within county lines for a second week. Reagan County reported 13 rigs for a fourth week. Upton and Ward counties each had 12 rigs, down one rig each. Energy dedicated software as a service firm in Veris said its U.S. rig count for the week ended October 25th was down 5 rigs to 590 and is down 48 rigs, or 8%, from 638 a year earlier. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil rose 4 rigs to 166, but is down 207 rigs, or 56%, from the 374 the previous year. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas fell by 2 to 81 and is down 70 rigs, or 46%, from 151 a year ago. ExxonMobil remains atop the list of 10 most active operators by rig count, with 35 rigs, up one for the week. ConocoPhillips and Occidental Petroleum follow with 28 and 27 rigs, respectively. In Veris, Permian Basin rig count jumped 5 rigs over the week to 295. The count is down 22 rigs, or 7%, from 317 the previous year. The Delaware Basin, the most active play, gained 2 rigs to 170, but remains 4 rigs, or 2% below year-ago levels. The Midland Basin was down 1 rig to 100 and is down 22 rigs, or 18%, from last year. Looking at trailing 30-day drilling permits for the week ended October 11th, the Permian Basin had 657 permits, down from 756 the previous week, and 718 a year earlier. The Permian had 113 frac crews active as of the week ended October 11th, unchanged from the previous week, and down from 157 a year earlier. Local man gets 3 life terms for child sex abuse. A 58-year-old Midland man was sentenced late Thursday to 3 terms of life in prison after being found guilty of the sexual abuse of a child. According to the Midland District Attorney's Office, Jackie Nolan Cox was charged with 2 counts of aggravated sexual assault with a child and 1 count of indecency with a child by exposure. The trial began Monday in the 441st District Court and continued until Thursday. On Thursday, the jury returned a guilty verdict on all 3 charges after deliberating for approximately 3 hours. Cox chose to have his punishment set by the presiding judge in the trial, Judge Jeffrey Robnette. Robnette delivered 3 life sentences to the defendant after the jury returned the guilty verdict. The district attorney's office advised that the evidence presented within the case showed that the defendant twice penetrated the sexual organs of a female victim in both 2018 and 2019. Additionally, Cox was said to have exposed his genitals to the same child in 2019. At the time of the incident, the female victim was younger than 14 years old. Quote, evidence also established that Cox had been convicted of a child sex offense previously in 1986 in Mitchell County, which required him to register as a sex offender. Under the law, that previous conviction resulted in automatic life sentences upon conviction of the aggravated sexual assault charges at issue in the trial, end quote, said the district attorney's office in a press release. Judge Robnette assessed the maximum possible sentence of life in prison for the indecency charge. The district attorney's office also shared that Cox had been previously convicted for 2 felonies of driving while intoxicated. Quote, Cox must serve at least 30 years of his concurrent sentences before the possibility of parole. Even then, eligibility for parole does not mean that parole will be granted, end quote, the district attorney's press release said. The case was prosecuted by Midland County Assistant District Attorneys Todd Mater and Payola Lujan Hayes. Cox was represented by Dallas attorney Nicholas Tufexis.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.